Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak now.
Now, what I'm going to do is, obviously, first of all, I would like to tell you about the test. Okay, this is a long book, so what I normally do is, I'm going to split the test into two parts here. So, the first test will be on either Friday, this coming Friday, or Saturday. Saturday we've got LM. It should be on this coming Friday, right? Now, what I normally do is I split the book into two parts. After I have finished with the first section, that is from chapter 1 to chapter 25, that is after the story of Abraham, then we'll give you a test. Is that okay? Yeah. So each test covers about 25 chapters. Sorry? Friday. No. One of the ASF sessions, is that okay? Okay, so it's on Friday, huh? Now, obviously your second test will be on the following Friday. So, it will include the chapters from 26 to 50. Is that okay? Is that clear? Oh, it's clear, okay. Now, obviously, I allow you to ask questions, but why do you have to record it every year? The same old thing. Okay. No problem. Okay, now class. Obviously, you can ask me questions, but I need time to, think through some of your questions. So, if possible, do write down your questions, right? And put inside this box so I can have sufficient time to read through your questions and to understand your questions. Is okay? Again, I think I have to also let you know that I'll be giving you assignment. So, probably 4 or 5 assignments a day. Yeah. Is that too much or too little?
Too much. Maybe about one.
No problem, it's up to you. If you want one, then it's a long one with 5 or 6 sub-questions. It's still the same. It's still the same, up to you. I just combine all the questions. What do you think? Not happy? the TL won't allow me to do that anyway. Okay, so you're safe, don't worry. But I will be giving you assignment as well. Right. Now, I think for you to do any assignment, you need to be familiar with the scriptures. Right. So I would advise you to read through Genesis as many times as you can. Right. So actually, there's no shortcut to understanding the Word of God. Right, so the way for us to know the Word of God is to read the Scriptures, obviously, as many times as we possibly can, and with a God-fearing heart. You read because you want to know the Word. And you read because you want to what? Put the Word of God into good use. Okay? I'm very sorry, I don't have any lecture notes for this. So I think if you want to to get something to read, I think the one translated from Chinese, written by our late Elder Young. Okay, you can read that. But I don't have notes, sorry about that. Right? Now, also, when you read, I just want to give you some idea, how to go about studying the book of Genesis. I think from chapter 11 onwards, it just give you a brief idea. Right, from chapter 11 onwards, verse 27, chapter 11, verse 27, and here it begins to talk about the descendants of Terah. Right? Now, we know that Terah is the father of what? Of Abram, or Abraham. Okay? Now, so from this section of the scriptures onward, all the way down to the end of the book, it talks about four main characters. Right? Now, what I want you to do is, when you read, for example, Abraham, the story of Abraham, right? And then you read the story of Isaac, now, I want you to bear in mind, you need to make comparison, right? Between the father and the son. If you have sufficient time, then what you can do is make comparison between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Emmett? Is it clear? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, I'll give you an example, yeah? Give an example. Abraham is a man who always built altars, right? Altars. And you find that Isaac did the same, and so did Jacob, right? Now, I want you to do this, make this kind of comparison so that you can understand, the passing down of faith, like from one generation to another. Is it clear? Right? So, this is not part of your assignment, but it's something that you have to do it yourself. Right? Now, I forgot to mention something. Yeah? As for the test, I don't believe in multiple choice anyway. Okay. Because most of you would guess. One, two, or three. So, I only believe in short answer questions. So, I've set short answer questions for you to answer, to test your understanding, how much you know about the lessons. And how much you know about, your reading of the Bible, on Genesis. Right? Is that okay? Sorry, I got a cough. Alright. What else? That's it, basically. You have any question? Is it clear? Yeah? What else? That's it. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is to give you a very brief introduction to the book of Genesis. Yeah? Now, obviously, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. I guess everyone knows about this. It's the first book. And who wrote the book? Moses. Yeah. Moses was inspired by God to write about the book of Genesis. And Genesis is a book that talks about the source of life, the origin of life. Okay, and that is our faith. Right? That's our faith. And because the existence of the universe, I think, has puzzled many people. Okay, but our faith is on the Word of God. Okay, our faith is, most likely you will catch my cold. I'm going to spread to you. If you're serious,
serious, because it's quite serious. If you want to use a mask, you can do so. I'm afraid that I might spread to you. I'm not joking, seriously. I don't want you to get sick. No, you can. I'm serious. Because this place is closed up, so it's not very good. Oh, can we open the window there? Can we? Is it too cold for you guys? Thank you, sister. Thank you. Okay. Who am I? Okay. Now, the book talks about the source of life, and God is the what? Is the creator, and He is the giver of life, right? And that is our faith, right? There's no way to prove, you know, the actual process of creation, you know. But you find that whatever God said, come into existence. Right? That's the power. Now, we find that nowadays there are so many challenging questions. Like, how do you know, you know, what is recorded in the book of Genesis is true, is authentic, is infallible, you know, stuff like that. How do you know? Okay, you know, your friend may question you. Okay, now, I think there are two ways to know about God and the power of God. Now, the first is through the reading of the Word. Okay, the Bible tells us about God. The Bible tells us about the power and the almightiness of God. Right? Now, you know, God works in a very mysterious fashion. Okay? And actually, God is an all-wise God. Okay? He knows everything. Right? Now, so in order for us to know with great conviction concerning the word of the scriptures, in this case the book of Genesis, you find that the Spirit must come into play. Right? Now, today, how do I know that, for example, God exists? Because not only the Bible tells me so, and more importantly, because the Spirit within me confirms to me that God exists. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So when you read the book of Genesis, you need to read it with this sort of conviction. Yeah? Is that clear? Alright, now I'll give you another simple example. None of us here has witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many of us have seen the physical Jesus? None of us. Okay? Now, if people come around and tell you, how do you know that Christ has been raised? The Bible says so. It's the Bible. The Bible says so. But for ourselves, how do we know that, okay, with great conviction, Jesus has been raised? Because the Bible says, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now dwelling in us. You understand what I'm saying? We turn to Romans. Chapter 8. Okay, chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Right? Now, the Bible tells us, according to Romans, yeah, you know, the Spirit within us confirms to us that we are the children of God, yeah? And you find that the Spirit does not just do that function alone, right? And the Spirit actually confirms to us that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Okay. Likewise, today we know that the Bible is true. In this case, the book of Genesis talks about you know, the origin of life, yeah, by the creation of God. And we believe in this because the Spirit in us gives us this conviction. Right? Now, without this conviction, you find that we cannot face any challenges at all. Right? Our faith can crumble, we can be easily swept away. Right? You know, that's why I think it's so important, yeah? You know, some members, you know, after having believed in Jesus for a period of time, then suddenly you find that, you know, they just lose their faith for no reasons, right? And they start doubting God, you know, they start questioning, you know, the existence of God, you know, stuff like that. Why? One of the reasons is because the Spirit within, right, it's like, you know, it's being grieved, you know, whatever, you know, and these people no longer rely on the Spirit. They no longer yield to the Spirit. That is the problem. Okay? Now, that's why I think it is crucially essential, you know, for us to keep up with our faith. I think the seminar here is very useful for us to, you know, set up a kind of pattern in our life so that we can continue to pray to God. Yeah, like what we are doing here right now. I think that's very important. Basically to build up this conviction in the Word of God. Okay, so we understand that if we come here, we only study the Bible without this connection with God. Yeah, if this conviction with God is not strengthened, yeah, continuously, then you find that, you know, our faith can crumble as a result. Right? Now, so when we study the book of Genesis, we need to have this conviction. I believe the Bible is true because of the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. Okay. You know, the whole world can go against us, but we still believe that the Bible is true because the Spirit is within us. Is that clear? Okay. Right, now, Genesis talks about the origin of life, and God is the creator. Now, obviously, in the process of creating the universe, we see the power and the almightiness of God. Again, His power is beyond our imagination. No matter how we stretch our imagination, we cannot capture fully the power of God. Is not possible. Yeah, because God was able to create, you know, the perfect universe out of nothing. That's the power. Okay? Now, so, it goes to show that, okay, it goes to show that our understanding of God can never be complete. Can never be complete. Because God is so supreme, so divine, and so powerful. Right? Yeah. Okay, so it tells us about God's power here, yeah, in His creation. Now, the other thing, I would like to look at chapter 1 first. Come to chapter 1. We read verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, yeah? Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What kind of light is this? What kind of light is this? You know, I think this is one of the key verses, yeah? When we talk about, you know, the existence of the universe, you know, the existence of life, and, you know, and things that we can see in today's world. What is this light? What kind of light is this? Anyone? 你们有上过吗? What light is this? Cosmic light? 那个cosmic叫什么? 宇宙光. What light is this? Cosmic or what?
Yes.
Okay, let's read. Verse 16, yeah? Who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Now, I don't disagree with that. I think that is part of the answers to my questions. And I think when light is introduced here, right, it basically tells us about the nature of God. Okay? The nature of God. Because according to what John, God is light, am I right? And I want to read John. Yeah? Turn to John. Okay. We turn to John chapter 1. You want to sit there? Chapter 1, yeah? Okay, we read verse 4. Yeah. Is it verse 4? Verse 4. Now, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Okay, I look at it in this way. The light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, basically tells us about, you know, God is the source of life, right? And that source of life is represented by light. Okay, so when God says there is light, basically is to tell us that, you know, all lives actually what originate from God. Okay? That's the idea. It's not the cosmic light. Yeah. Because I think when we talk about cosmic light, it refers to the light from what? From the moon, from the star, from the luminaries, bodies, celestial bodies, or whatever. Okay, so the light here is about the origin of life. Okay, now, so you find that in Genesis, Genesis itself, clearly we are told that He is the light, He is our life, and He has given us life. Okay, that is the idea. Okay, now, apart from that, when you look at the book of Genesis, God has created the universe, and God did not just create the universe and left, you know, the universe to function by itself. Okay, now, actually, you know, beneath this creation, we see that there is a relationship between the Creator and the created beings. Okay, now, we find that the most precious creatures in the eyes of God, or the created beings of God, is humanity, is man. Okay, now we explain a bit more later, and that's why you find that He created man, on the last day. Obviously, there is a reason. There is a reason. Okay, now, so there is a relationship. Okay, now, you find that the entire universe is able to function very systematically or very orderly, precisely because this relationship is intact. Okay, now we find that if God is not there, God is not the center of this entire universe, then the universe will be in chaos. Right? Now, I think from the very beginning of the chapter of the book of Genesis, it actually teaches us that, you know, God must be in our present, in our life, right, to ensure that all things function normally. Now, when you look at the creation, the vast universe, I don't know how to measure it, how to describe it, I don't know how to draw it, right? Now, if you zoom in and narrow it down to the Garden of Eden, then again you see that this relationship exists. But there's a relationship between
what?
Man and God. He's tired or something. You can sleep, but make sure you pass the test.
No problem.
Because there's nothing new under the sun, so you have heard about this already. Is that not true? Genesis, everyone knows. Is that not true? Okay. Right. Who am I? My rhythm is gone. My line of thought is broken. Okay. Right now, so when you zoom in to the Garden of Eden, you find that this relationship is magnified.
Okay, it's magnified.
Right. Now, for things to function normally, yeah, the relationship between man and God must be kept intact. Right. Must be enhanced, must be strengthened. I think it applies to our life as well. Yeah, our life as well. Okay, if we want to function normally, right, as Christians or to live a normal life, then God must be the center. God must be in the equation, if I can put it that way. Okay. And without that, you find that our life will be thrown into confusion and into chaos. Okay, simple as that. But now the next things about Genesis, from the book Genesis, we learn that God is a God of principle. Right? He's not a chaotic God, and He's not a God who changes all the time. And you find that, whatever He said, will surely come to pass, and whatever He said is like final, okay? And it's not given to change. From the very beginning, we can see that God is an absolute God. Is not given to change. Right? Any violation against His command will result in what? In punishment. Yeah? And in suffering. Okay, that's why we need to bear this in mind. Right? We need to bear this in mind. No matter how clever we may be, how smart we are, how talented we are, or whatever. Okay? But when we come before God, then we know that our part is to submit to Him. Right? Is to submit to His command, and you'll find that life will become normal. Right? Life will function normally, and our relationship with God will be good. Okay, that's the idea. Okay, basically, this is what I want to say. Right? Now, of course, if you look at the book of Genesis, it also talks about the origin of sin, and talks about the fallen humanity, and stuff like that, so on and so forth. Right? Now, I think more importantly, in the book of Genesis, we can see the unwavering love of God towards humanity. Despite a man has sinned against God, we find that His love remained unchanged. Okay. These are some of the rough ideas. Okay, if I ask you, how would you section the book? How would you section the book? How many sections do you think you can divide the book into? To be honest, there's no right and wrong answer. There's no right and wrong answer. Yeah. As long as you are happy with your own division, then that's fine. As long as it helps you understand, like the book of Genesis better, then it's fine. Okay. How many sections do you think you can split the book into? Okay. Anyone? Sorry, Eric, what are you saying? So I don't know your name. How many sections? Anyone? Sorry? Six? Seven?
Eight.
Yeah, I'm joking. What? Eight? 11. Who is saying 11?
Four.
Oh, OK. Gabia. 111. Yes.
Okay. You.
Eight.
Well, some. I think some based on what do you call it? Genealogy. Some based on genealogy. I think some based on events. Yeah. And I'm talking about you. How would you divide the Bible? Don't follow what your Bible says. I mean, I'm not. I mean the division. Okay. Okay. How many sections? Anyone? Six. Why six? Why six? 你怎么分段? Okay, 分几段? 创世纪? Eh?
Five.
你讲一讲吧. Why five? Okay, class. Hello. Thank you. Okay, five.
The first
section.
Yeah, the beginning of the world.
The beginning of the world. That is from what? Chapter 1? Chapter 2 to chapter 11. Okay, chapter 1 to chapter 11. That is before the story of Abraham. 1 to 11. Okay?
Abraham.
Mm.
And
Isaac.
Isaac.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Mm. Okay. So. 叫什么名字？忘记了，完蛋。 David. Okay, David. David. Okay, now our brother is saying the book can be split into five sections. The first is chapter 1 to chapter 11, that is before the story of Abraham. And then from chapter 12 or chapter 11, the last part onwards, all the way down to the last chapter, can be divided into four parts based on the four main characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph. But we find that there are some overlappings, what do you call it? Overlapping events, yeah? Like Abraham and Isaac, right? They are together, like even Isaac and Jacob. You see that, you know, sometimes these two characters can be mentioned in the same chapter, right? Right, and any other ways to divide the chapter? I mean the book, you know? Anyone? Yes.
I would split the creation of Noah as well.
That?
Well, I would have had a separate section from Noah.
From Noah?
Yeah.
That is from chapter 6?
Yeah. And I would have did Adam and Eve over to Noah.
Okay, Noah. 1 to 5, and then 6 onwards. And 6 to what? 11. Okay, you base it on characters. Huh? Okay. And this may be one of your test questions. So, anyone else? Okay, now what I normally do is I split the book into two parts, yeah, like 1 to 11, and then 11 all the way down to 50. I think it's easier, right? Because the second part mainly is on the four major characters, yeah? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and who? Joseph. Okay, Joseph. Right? Now, obviously, again, I said a class, there's no right and wrong to how you would divide the the book, as far as I'm concerned. You can follow the reference given in your book, I mean in your Bible, or you can follow the division given by the church elders or whatever. Okay, there's no right and wrong answers to that. Okay, now what I want to do now is to look at the verse 1. But where can I write? Right here or right there? They cannot see you. Okay. I tell what I.
Okay, first one. Yeah. I split it into four parts. In the beginning. How do you spell beginning? In the beginning, what? The next one is God created the heaven. Okay. In the beginning, talk about what? The time, is it? When? God? Talk about the Creator. Okay? Creation. Okay. It's what? How? What? This one? When, who, how, what? What?
Where?
No, where? Now, my point is, I'm trying to bring to your attention, very important. Okay, now.
Now I think this form our basis of studying the Bible. Okay. Now there are issues that are not mentioned in the Bible. You get what I'm saying? So by breaking down this verse itself, it talks about what, when, how, I mean who and how, and what. Okay. But it does not talk about why. So we must not be too clever to probe into things that are not recorded in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, as far as I'm concerned, we should use this as the basis or to set our mentality right in studying the Word of God. Right? Because the Bible, there are issues that the Bible has never spoken about. There's no need. Obviously, apart from like Isaiah or whatever, we are told that the planet Earth is created for man to inhabit. Okay? And also, you know, it mentioned that the universe is created to glorify God. You can also see this in the book of Psalm. But judging from Genesis, you know, there are things which are hidden. That's why it's not mentioned. Okay? Now, this should be our attitude in studying the Word of God. You know, the danger is, the more you become acquainted with the Word of God, or you become more well-versed with the Word of God, right? If we do not exercise godliness, or if we do not possess a heart of fearing God, you find that we are in danger of what? Becoming puffed up. Obviously, this is not really applicable to you, because you have not been put in the position in the church, yeah,
to teach the church and to go around into different places to talk about the Word of God. This is more applicable to me and to all the full-time workers. Right? Now, bear this in mind. You know, we only speak what the Bible says, and we keep our mouth what? Shut if the Bible does not talk about issues that we shouldn't be discussing. You understand what I'm saying? Very important mentality. You know, in this way, we will not go wrong. You know, otherwise, you find that Bible study in itself is very important, but it turned out to be something not very beneficial to our spiritual life, because we talk about things which are not recorded in the Bible in the first place. Is it clear? Right? There's the mentality, there's the mindset. Right? Now, I think by looking at verse 1, not only it talks about the origin of life, it also tells us about that, you know, there are things that God does not want to reveal to us. There are things that have been kept away from our knowledge, from our understanding. Right? So, there's no need, again I said, there's no need for us to force the issues. Okay. Now, I want you to read Isaiah. Chapter 40. Do you need a break? I don't think so. Okay, we go on. Chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40:40, verse 28. Okay, now, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, neither faint nor is weary, his understanding is unsearchable. Okay, now,
I need to understand.
Okay. I think there are three things mentioned. One is the everlasting God.
It talks about what? Eternity. The eternal nature of God, yeah?
And the second is the Lord.
Now, I think, you know, when you see this word, the Lord, in capital letters, it refers to what?
The self-existence of God.
Right?
What else? The Creator.
Obviously, here it talks about the creation, the process of creation from whatever. Now, you find
you can see shell right here. Oh, okay.
Let me darken it.
I actually copied from the Bible.
Can I read it out to you? This is the everlasting God mentioned in this verse 28, yeah? Everlasting God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Everlasting God, referring to the eternal nature of God, yeah? Eternal nature of God, there's eternity, and the Lord and the word here in capital refers to what? The self-existence of God. Meaning, his existence is what? Is inherent within himself. Right? Now, the last one, the creation. Right? Now, you find that these are the things that we can never understand because we are not eternal, for example. Right?
how can we talk about eternity? But we believe in it because the Bible says so. You understand what I'm saying? But the other thing is the self-existence of God. Yeah? And we are limited, we are created, and we are short-lived. So it's impossible for this human mind to comprehend what self-existence means. It's very difficult. Right? Now, the other one is creation. The process itself is beyond imagination. How can the complete universe be created from nothing? So there are things that is unsearchable. That's why the Bible says it's unsearchable. It's beyond reach. Right? So I think this formed the basis of our studies. Is that okay? Any question? Any question? Okay, let's say a silent prayer. Amen.